Welcome to the HR Stories Podcast, Listener Question Edition, where there is a lesson in every story. Each week, the team at HR Stories Podcast shares questions from our podcast audience and provides tangible, practical advice that everyone can use to get HR right. Our hosts today are management and HR consultants Chuck Simikian and John Tallheimer. What is on your mind today?
Welcome to the HR Stories Podcast. Question and answer edition, where there is a lesson in every answer, hopefully. That's the goal, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Tallheimer, and I, with my partner of Chuck Simikian, are here to answer your questions. We love when we come your you get us questions, so make sure you're emailing us at the email at the team at email at team at hrstories.com. We'll put all that into the notes. Make sure you're just reaching out to us, letting us know. We love answering your questions. We will answer your questions right then, and then we'll talk about them on the podcast as well. So don't feel like, oh, I don't want to give you a question, because if you need an answer, we want to give that answer to you. We'll get to it as soon as we can. I can't say we'll get to it right away. Chuck is a busy director of HR down in the Florida Keys, meaning he is in his hammock, drinking Mai Tais, watching his staff fan. He has the easy life. You could tell. Look how tan he is. I feel like completely pale next to you. How are you, Chuck?
I'm fine. You started off so slow and deliberate. You just like, vroom. You know, like the roller coaster. You're going up, and all of a sudden, so
I'm facilitation 101. I've learned it. We call that the roller coaster method.
Oh, yeah, got you.
When you really
John, let me say to you, I'm doing great. I feel fantastic. It's a beautiful day, and you know, I may look like I have a tan. I think it's the lighting and the makeup. You know, hire professionals.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know you had staff. I saw all those bills coming through, and I didn't know. I didn't know what that was for. Now I understand. Well, yeah. It doesn't take very much to get you ready, Chuck. You always look good and ready to go. So I appreciate it.
And folks,
that.
There is a YouTube edition. So if you wonder what we're talking about, if you want to see what we actually look like, how we yuck it up a little bit, the facial expressions, you definitely want to check us out on the Team at HR Stories YouTube page. And that is in the show notes below. John, we've got three, I think, great questions. I took these all from the HR Team of One Facebook group, which, by the way, someone gave us a huge kudo this week. They posted, so I guess, I don't know, was it a welcome message? And They said, go ahead and say it. I mean, it was.
Oh, hey, yeah, you want me to say it because you think I remember it. I don't remember it. Let me pull it up.
Yeah.
I just had it. Here it is. I'm not going to mention the person's name. She says, I think you'll love this group. It may be the best HR group on Facebook.
The best HR group on Facebook. Woo! I mean, that is
I want to take sorry to interrupt you, Chuck. I want to take it to the highest level. We're the best HR group in social media. I gotta say.
So I think so.
All right, let's get into these questions, Doc. All right. So this is from Joel out in Illinois, and he says this. We are hiring an intern who is 15. I sent a background check per our policy, and the background check won't allow him to complete the process due to his age. It only goes from 2006 to later. Intern was born in 2008. This is a major first for me. I've already got consent from dad on everything. Anyone who has suggested based on their experience is a background check even necessary?
Yeah. And I know you answered this one and I answered it too. So what do you think, John? Are you asked a lot of questions?
What I was trying to get at when I looked at this, because I'm like, all right, here's a person that's 15.
And so if I'm going to do a background check on that person, it's going to really depend on what they're doing for the organization, right? And so I think this organization was a software company. And so I don't know the type of clients. I don't know what the requirement is. Is this, you know, are we doing this just to do it? And so always when I'm thinking about background checks and security checks and all of that stuff, there needs to be a clear purpose of why we're doing it. And so if I do a background check on a 15-year-old, I'm probably not going to find much. Most of that, I mean, again, if they're a juvenile record, they're going to be hidden. So we're not going to see those. Probably not going to see there. If they're a driver for the company, we're going to hire them as a driver for the company. Maybe they'll have a DUI, but at the age of 15, they're probably not driving. So that's what I kind of looked at. I'm like, well, I don't know if I would even do a background check.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, I would say if you're an intern for a company at 15, you know somebody, right? So intern at 15 means I'm like someone's child or I'm the boss's kid. So someone knows me, someone knows the history. You're absolutely right about the juvenile records. Now, there are some states where you fingerprint someone, you may go back into the juvenile records, but you have to be really, there has to be a real reason why you have to fingerprint. And I got to tell you, unless there's a state or a federal requirement for this person to get some sort of background check, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. You're right. You're not going to see the juvenile records. It's probably someone that's known. And ultimately, the reason we're doing background checks is to show due diligence and that we're trying to protect the company. And if you can't do the background check, but you do some reference checks and you document them, you've protected the company.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things I do like about this is that the person was being consistent with their policies.
Yeah.
Right. They weren't like, oh, well, this kid, you know, again, let's say this kid wasn't 15. Let's say they were 18 and they were the son of the chief financial officer. And they're like, well, I'm not going to do a background check because they're the boss's son, right? Well, what happens if the boss's son has a DUI or stole stuff or something like that shows up and you haven't done your due diligence or identity theft or you haven't done your due diligence and you haven't done that, then you're being inconsistent with your policies. And that's going to get you, the HR professional practitioner, in trouble. So being consistent is good. And I'm glad they did it. If the company was like, hey, we can't do anything with this, they're too young, then I'd be like, all right, well, I did that. And to Chuck's point, checking references, talking to people and going, all right, that's stuff. So, and I love that this person also did ask the adult, the dad, for permission, right? Because they are under 18. So always falling back on that and doing that. So again, if you're hiring people under 18, which a lot of us do, definitely make sure that permissions granted, right? That appropriate grant, whatever that's called, in there. So, all right, are we ready for question number two?
Question number two.
All right, here we go. An employee verbally assaulted a new employee during a meeting with a CFO because she claimed she was overwhelmed at work and had an autoimmune disease that affects her ability to think clearly when she is not well rested. She explained that when she becomes tired, her body and mind fight back and say, no more. Chuck, how would you handle that situation?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because being the number one HR Facebook group, right? The number one group on Facebook there. We had a couple of people chime in and pretty much everyone said, oh, you know what? That type of behavior, there's no excuse for that. You should suspend them pending investigation. You should document it. You should write them up, you know, that sort of thing. And I understood all of that. But I there's some questions to me as to what is verbally assaulted. Were they just rude? Were they mean? Did they get into the person's face? I mean, was it literally assault? You know, assault is where you feel like there's going to be physical harm. And so I guess definitely you have to document it. But my overall question back to this poster, who was anonymous, by the way, I said, when did they tell you about the autoimmune disease, you know, and how it makes them behave? Because in the post, this person says, after this confrontation, they just walked out. But then when does this whole thing about the autoimmune disease come up? You know, did they, did you already pull them aside to talk to them? Has it happened before? But you definitely need to document it. And if they're telling you they have some sort of disability, it may be an accommodation request. And you may want to, consider having that interactive conversation to at least show good faith. But with any accommodation, right, is it a reasonable accommodation? And if this person is assaulting people, whatever assaulting is, you cannot have that in the workplace. What do you think?
I love it. That's a really good breakdown of that question. So when I first read it, right, assault really stood out to me, right? Really stood out to me. And, you know, you read that first sentence and you're like, I don't care if you're overwhelmed at work. You don't do that. That's not how we work in this workplace, right? And so I was like all the other people. I was like, yeah, we should get fire this person. Yeah, let's get rid of him. But, and then she gets into, I have an autoimmune disease. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, all right, well, that's ADA, right? The Americans with Disability Act. I need to kind of go through that as well. And as Chuck said, go through that interactive process, kind of define that, see what it is, document it. There's a couple other things, Chuck, that I want to dive into on this one, right? Number one is, what did you do with the employee that was verbally assaulted? What kind of conversation did you have? What are you going to do to make that person feel safe and secure in the workplace, right? And so, again, that may not be what's on top of mind. I need to discipline this person, but you also have to go to that other person and go, we are sorry. That is not how we behave. You're a new employee. We understand, right? And so, again, making sure that person feels safe and kind of, okay, great in there. And then the second thing is, I'm going to look at the person that did the verbal assault, their role, and find out, is it overwhelming, right? Are we asking too much of that person, right? It goes back to that holistic employment. Maybe we need to change their job description. Maybe we need to move things away. Now, if I'm moving a lot away, then it's a whole compensation thing, conversation. So there's a lot of moving parts in here. Verbal assault, definitely a no-no. And then ADA also.
Yeah, I agree. So we're on the same page. Cool.
We should debate a little more. I'm going to come up with some more questions we debate on. I know that we're going to have a different, maybe I'll just have a different opinion just to debate with you. All right.
Just for the fun of it. I like it. Okay. Question number three.
All right. Number three. Are we, an organization, legally required to provide medical benefits to our paid interns whose assignment is shorter than 3 months?
Yes. So I like this one because, well, first of all, in the theme park world when I worked and in the hospitality world, we do hire a lot of, short-term people for the summer, let's say. High school kids, college students, sometimes J-1 work and travel visa holders, which are here for three and a half months. And overall, there is a provision in the ACA that talks about seasonal employees. And if they are employees hired for a specific duration of 4 months or less. I think it comes out, they say 120 days, calendar days, by the way. You do not need to offer them benefits, but you do need to designate them as seasonal employees. So that is important to designate them. I know we would designate them in the HR system so that it knew that these were seasonal employees. It also matters about the look back period, but not so much with the seasonal folks. Most places are doing a 1 year look back or a 6 month look back. If you're doing a 3 month look back period, which I don't know why you are because you're not obligated to do that, then you may run into some like problems where you're going to have to really maybe segment people out. But that's my answer based on my experience.
Yeah, and so I'm not 100% sure, but as I remember reading this, this may have been in California, and California may have specific laws in terms of benefits.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so I am looking for it now online, and I can't find anything. And so just be aware, if you are out in California, there may be very particular laws and regulations, right? So one of the things I think we do a great job at, Chuck, is making sure that that the listeners are understanding there's federal laws, right? And there's federal mm-hmm. laws that we need to talk about, but there's also state laws, right? And so we are a national podcast. In fact, we have listeners in Canada. We have listeners in India. We have listeners in Japan. We have listeners all over the world, but we're focused on the United States. So a lot of times we're talking about that federal level, but you also need to look at your state level as well, right? And so kind of doing that. So yeah. California is complicated. There's a lot of stuff that you kind of need to look at and seeing like, okay, they're paid interns. And I think what Chuck is saying is really important. We're hiring them from a short-term period, right? So under 4 months. And so that's
4 months, not 5 months, not 6 months. People are like, oh, what about a 6 month intern? No, now that's a whole different thing now. 4 months. Hey, and a lot of companies, John, their summer, a lot of times this was put in place because of summer employment season. That's right. Why this is here. 4 months, May through August. And so I think it's worked well. No one's
there's also, when we look at seasonal employees, there's also rules around whether they can be exempt or not. Typically they can be exempt. Again, reading the law, going in there, typically they can be exempt in there. All right. So ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the HR Stories podcast, where there is a lesson in every story. This has been our questioning and answering segment. We do this every other week. So we do the story, and then every other week we do this podcast. This is our favorite podcast because we can really contribute, get you better, and take it to the next level. Chuck, any final words that you would like to say?
No final words, John, but thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As a reminder, go check out our website, the team at hrstories.com, where you have information about our workshops, our consulting business. There's tons of resources on there. Just go get on there. And don't forget to join us on the Facebook group as well. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the HR Stories podcast. The material presented in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Chuck and John always recommend using an employment lawyer or HR consultant to handle any legal concerns or HR issues. We do our best to double check sources and make sure the information we are providing is accurate. We may eliminate or embellish without changing the basic narrative to make the story easier to understand. In certain circumstances, we may change identifying information to protect the innocent. The HR Stories broadcast is brought to you by the team at HR Stories. The team at HR Stories is designed to help anyone with HR responsibilities be better at managing the employee experience. To engage with us, go to the HRStoriesTeam.com and learn more about how the team at HR Stories can support your business or nonprofit. Thank you for listening to the HR Stories podcast, where there is a lesson in every story.